This is the Coronation Podcast.
Welcome to Coronation's Podcasts. Here, we discuss topics centered around wealth management and finance. My name is Ifeanyi Uwefo. I head private banking at Coronation Merchant Bank. Our topic today is an interesting one. It's one that impacts families across the globe. We shall be talking about wealth succession. There are questions to ponder. So questions are centered around what stage of wealth creation you're at. Are you at the stage where you're building and accumulating your wealth? Or perhaps at the stage where you're about to inherit a legacy? Or maybe you've already accumulated wealth? Whatever the case may be, I'm sure you would agree that navigating the complexities of passing on assets from one generation to the other can really be a tricky one. And this is where professional guidance becomes indispensable. At Coronation, we have a team of financial experts who are dedicated to helping individuals and families achieve financial security across generations. Today's episode, we have Mr. Yemi Sadiq. He is the Managing Director at Coronation Trustees Limited. He is a seasoned corporate and commercial lawyer with extensive expertise in capital market operations. Registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Yemi specializes in providing legal and trusteeship services for both regulated and non-regulated capital market transactions, including state and corporate bonds, securitization, loan syndication, debentures, mortgages, and private trusts. His educational journey from LLB at University of South Wales to LLM in commercial and corporate law at University of Southampton in England underscores his legal prowess. Notably, he has participated in capital market transactions worth over 2.5 trillion naira and non-regulated transactions worth over 200 billion naira. Indeed, Yemi Sadiq is well-rounded and he's committed to excellence, business growth, and client success. Together, we shall be discussing the importance of wealth of succession planning. We shall be discussing strategies for smooth asset transfer across generations, and we shall also be discussing tools and resources available to ensure a secure financial future for families. So stay tuned and get ready to gain valuable insights about managing and preserving your family's wealth. So, Mr. Yemi, a warm welcome.
Thank you very much. I think
to kick off, we should start by looking at the importance of communication. Wealth succession is not an easy topic to discuss, especially because of our cultural environment. So are there tips and strategies that you can share with us to underscore the importance of having open and honest communication within families when it comes to wealth succession? Also, how can such conversations and activities be facilitated? Would we require professional mediation, use of advisors, financial planners? Whatever tips and strategies you can share with us, I think it would be very useful and helpful at this stage.
All right. Thank you very much, Ifeanyi. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. Wealth succession through generation is a very critical topic. It's one of those things that most people do not talk about until the very last minute or until at a point where they can no longer, plan their estate or preserve their wealth. So it's very interesting that we're actually talking about this today. So, before I go into the concept of communication as one of the solutions to wealth preservation, it's important to actually know what wealth transfer is really about. In the estate planning parlance, we believe that wealth planning or wealth transfer is a process through which an asset of an individual or a family are passed down from one generation to another. These things can happen in various means. It can happen through inheritance. It can happen through gifting. It can happen through trust and other financial structures that are available within our jurisdiction. Now, different things can actually be passed on as well. You know, it could either be financial assets. We're talking stocks. We're talking cash. We're talking bonds. It could be properties, you know, real estate. Sometimes it could even be business interests, you know, such as patents, copyrights. Intangible assets as well can also be passed down. We're talking about knowledge. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about connections. So whether it's a chosen action or a chosen possession, it's important to understand that these things can actually be passed down from one generation to another. One of the things we find out within this jurisdiction, and as you know, as you find out in any other jurisdiction, is that there is a lack of communication, as you've identified earlier, because wealth planning and wealth transfer or succession planning, if you like, is not just about transactional processes. You know, there's a lot of legal, emotional, and practical considerations that is important to, you know, consider when talking about this. And you would find out that in this part of the world, most families do not really talk about wealth planning. They don't really talk about wealth transfer. So it's important to identify the different means by which, you know, we can actually communicate within a family. One of the things I like to say to our clients here is, first thing, it is important for a family to discuss financials. It is important for a family to have a clear communication. We've heard of different families such as the Hermes family, the Dangote family, you know, the Maikadenoka family that hold periodic meetings within their families where they're able to discuss. And in those meetings, they're able to ensure that all family members are aligned with their goals and strategy. The interesting thing about wealth succession and wealth planning is the first generation might have a particular idea as to how they intend to build the family. The second generation might have another idea entirely. And as people jokingly say, the third generation sometimes is just there to deplete the funds. But it's not always like that where there is clear communication. Once there's clear communication within the family, they hold regular meetings, they're able to structure, you know, their estates to say, look, this is exactly what this family wants to be known for. This is how we want to pass down our wealth from one generation to the other. Another thing beyond communicating is seeking professional advice. There are myriads of legal and financial experts out there, people that can help you navigate the complex, you know, legal, structural, financial issues that comes from succession planning. It is important to involve these people in the communication within the family as well. And another thing I like to add to that is that it's important to have what we call early planning. A family that starts their succession planning very early find it easier to, you know, transfer that wealth, you know, across generation than a family that doesn't. So it's important, you're very correct, it's important to discuss wealth planning amongst our family. There was something else you said earlier, which was in relation to the strategies that, you know, you can employ. There are myriads of strategies to employ, but before I actually go into that, it's also important to know that estate planning is not just about physical structures. It's not just about real estate. It's about every single thing you own. We're talking financial assets. We're talking tangible assets. We're talking intangible assets. At Coronation Trustees, for instance, we have what we call estate planning tools. Those estate planning tools are really succession planning tools. They are things that allows you to create wealth. They are things that allows you to educate people in terms of succession planning, and it also allows you to transfer wealth as well. Now, there are different estate planning tools you can employ. You can either use a trust, you can use a will, you can use a power of attorney. In other jurisdictions as well, you'd see more complicated and more sophisticated estate planning tools such as INCAP solutions. INCAP solutions are incapacitation solutions. For instance, a medical power of attorney, a financial power of attorney. These are things that you can use to actually plan your estate. And I'm sure in the course of our conversation, we would actually, you know, delve into these different estate planning tools as we go along. But yes, there are different tools that you can use, but it's important to communicate this with your family at a very early stage as well.
Thank you very much. There was something I picked while you were talking. You mentioned something about early planning, and that, you know, makes me wonder what stage is the right stage to start thinking about, you know, putting structures in place for wealth succession. A lot of people feel that you have to have a certain amount of wealth before you can start thinking about wealth succession. How true is this? And, you know, at what stage is the right stage, if we can put it that way, to actually start thinking about putting a structure in place? And, of course, like you mentioned, there are different things that can be done. There's the trust, there's the will, there's the power of attorney. I'm sure it will all depend on the peculiar circumstance of the family. But let's talk around, you know, how much wealth do you really need to start thinking about this? And what stage is the right stage, if there is any such thing, to start thinking about putting structures in place?
Thank you, Fewa. I like to say to my colleagues, whenever we're discussing wealth planning, that look, there's never really any time that's too early to start. And as you mentioned, the peculiarities of a family or the peculiarity of the wealth that an individual owns would determine a specific structure that will be put in place. But then having said that, it's important to also know that there are different stages in the life of a human being in terms of wealth creation or wealth accumulation. So the first stage is usually the accumulation stage. You know, this is where you have young, upwardly mobile professionals that are working between their 20s into their 30s and their 40s. At this point, an individual is accumulating wealth. After that particular stage, we have a wealth protection or preservation stage. That preservation stage is where you're beginning to put different estate planning tools in place. You're beginning to put different structures in place to ensure that your funds or your wealth rather is protected, and also that you're able to preserve them in the long term. Also within the stage, we have what we call the consolidation stage. This consolidation stage is perhaps when you're getting to your 50s, your 60s, you're putting all your assets into one basket, or you're putting all your assets into a particular trust that allows you to get to the last stage, which is the, you know, the process of transfer, or if you like, the process of giving it on to another generation or making important choices. Now, within these different stages, it is important to note that there are different estate planning tools that you can employ within the stages. Let me give you an example. A young upwardly mobile professional that starts accumulating from their 20s to their 30s can do what we call a private investment trust. There's never really any amount that's too little. You can start your private investment trust with, you know, maybe a lump sum. There are people that earn 200,000, 500,000 naira within the environment in which we operate now. We know the economic circumstances might be a bit there, but it's important for people to start planning early. And that was why I mentioned starting early when I was talking earlier. Now, here's the thing. At that stage, there are estate planning tools that are open to you. A young upwardly mobile professional, you know, a professional in his 20s, 30s, would most likely get married, start having kids as well. At that stage, you can start doing what we call an education trust. An education trust allows you to start planning for the educational future of your children. At that stage, you don't need to have all the millions in the world. But as you grow older and as you accumulate more, the balance sheet size, you know, looks healthier. Mm-hmm. That way you can decide to then put it in trust. You know, you can employ maybe a living trust. And as the name implies, a living trust is one that actually exists whilst you're alive. And once you're dead, you know, once you've passed on, it can actually go to the other generation. So to say strictly, there isn't really any particular threshold to start from, because there are different tools that work for the different stages of life in terms of wealth accumulation. But it is also important to know the specific tool that is required. I was speaking to someone the other day and I said to them, "Oh, do you have a will?" And the response he gave me was, "Oh, I'm just in my 30s. And why do I need a will?" Now, that is something that happens within our jurisdiction a lot, you know, within our own environment. And it's never too early to have a will. Then I asked him, I said, "Do you have an iPhone?" He said, "Yes." I said, "How much is this iPhone? Is it more than a million?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, you know it's an asset, right?" He said, "Yes, because, I mean, it's something he owns." I said, "Do you own a laptop?" He said, "He uses a Mac." I said, "Great." I said, "Do you have a car?" Now, this particular individual even has one or two luxury cars. And I said, "Okay, so you have these things. If something were to happen to you today, how do you think..." And this is a young guy that, you know, has a young family as well. And I said, "I'm sure you have some monies in your bank account as well." He said, "Yes." I said, "If something was to happen to you today, what would, you know, have you made provisions for your family?" And that was when this, my friend, began to realize that this is true, you know. I feel like I don't have a lot, but there are enough things that I can actually put in trust. I went on to ask him, I said, "Do you have a retirement savings account?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You know that the Pension Reforms Act actually allows you to specifically, I mean, that's even the only way you can actually put your RSA, you know, you can give your RSA to future generations. You have to have a will." And that was when he began to realize that, you know, I don't really need to have all the money, you know, in this world before I start creating wealth for the future generation. I can actually do a will now. Well, yeah, started the will and we haven't finalized it, but, you know, it's in the process. So the reason I gave this story is just, you know, to show you that you don't necessarily need to have all the funds in this world. You don't need to have all the assets in this world. At different stages of your existence, there are different estate planning tools that you can use to ensure that your future generation is well taken care of. So yes, I think anyone can start at any point in time. Early planning is very important.
It's very interesting to know, because I think a lot of people are in some sort of ignorance, and it's good that, you know, we communicate these things. Thank you. I guess for me at this stage, what I'm thinking we should discuss would be around challenges in wealth succession. Are there challenges that families typically face in trying to transfer wealth from one generation to the next? So if we can discuss a little bit about that, it would really be very helpful.
All right, thank you very much. The only certain thing about life, as they say, is that life is uncertain. You know, there are a lot of uncertainties, you know, in our everyday life. And it's important for us to be able to create shock absorbers for any situation that life throws at us. But, you know, it's important to also know that in terms of wealth succession, or, you know, wealth transfer, or wealth planning, or wealth succession across, you know, generations, there are a number of challenges that families will face. There are a number of challenges that individuals will face. So let me just talk through a number of them. I mean, there are myriads of them. I'm just probably going to talk through maybe two or three of them, and then maybe prefer solutions and, you know, how to mitigate these challenges as well. So the first challenge, as you mentioned earlier, is lack of communication. Within this jurisdiction, we find that people don't talk about money. Families don't talk about money. We just, you know, assume that, you know, life would come, somebody's taking care of the family, and then until something happens to the breadwinner, that's when we begin to realize that, you know, maybe we should have actually planned better. So that lack of communication is a major challenge within this climes. It's important for families to talk about wealth. It is important to talk about, you know, the things that they will do in relation to, you know, how the family will be taken care of if, for instance, the breadwinner passes. So lack of communication is a major challenge that I've seen within this, our jurisdiction, or within, you know, our clime. Another thing is differing, you know, financial values. As I mentioned earlier, the first generation are usually the ones that, you know, they toil, they do all the work, they invest, they save more. The second generation has seen what the first generation has done. So to an extent, they, you know, inculcate some of those traits. But most times the third generation can come along and, you know, no one is saying the third generation is really a spendthrift. It's just that these days the third generation are more interested in either spending or philanthropy or doing something different from, you know, the first generation. So the different financial values is something that comes with different generation. And the easiest way to sort of mitigate this is to have family values. I mean, financial values that, you know, are related to your own family. We have people that have family offices. We have people that have specific financial values within their family structure. And, you know, there's a particular way they spend money. There's a particular way they invest. There's a particular way they even do philanthropy or do charity. So those different financial values can be a challenge, but it can be mitigated by having, you know, a very strong financial value. Another thing that I think could be a challenge is legal and tax complexities. Laws are ever evolving. The law is ambulatory, as you know. It changes from time to time, it moves. And those laws and those tax laws or regulation sometimes can affect the way in which you transfer wealth, can also affect the way you create wealth. For instance, let me give you an example. In Lagos State, there is an administration of estates law that explains how, you know, the estate of a deceased can actually be taken care of. You know, there are different rules. This law gets reviewed every now and then. And it's important to be able to speak to a financial planner or an estate planner that understands the complexities of these laws and are able to put those complexities into the specific wealth planning solution that they have for you. Another thing to mention about, you know, legal and tax complexities in Lagos State, for instance, if you die intestate, dying intestate means you die without a will. When you die intestate, you would need to apply for what we call a letter of administration in order to administer, in order to even touch the estates that, you know, the deceased has left behind. This process could be cumbersome sometimes, it's long-winded, which is why we like to tell our our clients here that it's important for you to have a will. If you have a will, you wouldn't have to go through all those long-winded procedures and processes. So yes, those kind of things are part of the things you would face. Another thing that I like to talk about when I'm speaking to people about wealth succession is that there is the challenge of the emotional side of things. This can, you know, range from gratitude to guilt to anxiety. Whilst we're saying people should have open communication about estate planning, sometimes, you know, within different families, depending on the family values, there could be issues, you know, amongst families as to how maybe certain funds are being passed around or maybe how certain funds are being expended. There's that anxiety as well that comes with it. In this climb, we feel that once I start creating an estate plan or once I start using a particular estate planning tool, it means I'm about to die. It's even funny that most people that have estate planning are the ones that actually live longer the most. But, you know, those challenges are there. They are challenges that one needs to actually consider. But then having a very having a well experienced estate planner or a trust advisor would help you navigate these complexities. They'll help you navigate the different things that you would encounter in the course of your estate planning. So yes, it's important to know that there are challenges, but it's also important to know that, you know, it's better having an estate plan than not having one.
Certainly, certainly. Thank you for that. You talked on a number of things, and the first thing you mentioned was lack of communication. I think we're still going to talk about this some more because it's recurring, and it looks like this is really a major stumbling block for us. I think something else that you talked about that I picked was the complexities of our legal and tax laws, which buttresses the importance of speaking to financial experts. I believe that, of course, coronation trustees are in a position to provide such, financial and professional advice where families require such. So it's important that we keep talking about these things. Like you did mention, where a person dies interstate, you know, it's such a very distressing process to try to, you know, put something in place with a letter of an administration and all of that, which can be avoided if people are just educated. So it brings me to the next discussion point. I would like us to talk a little bit more about how we can educate the next generation. I mean, how do we teach children and even our grandchildren about responsible money management, philanthropy, keeping the family legacy, and, you know, how do we begin to imbibe that culture in them so that it's an easier topic to discuss, it's an easier reality, and it becomes more of a norm as we progress, that people begin to, you know, put their assets in order. Is there anything you can share with us around, you know, ensuring that we are educating the next generation?
Oh, yes. So the first thing I'd like to say is one has to be transparent. If you're transparent enough with the family would understand. It would reduce the risk of misunderstanding. So first thing is be transparent. Continually share information openly about your family's assets, about your family's plans and your family's expectation. Once you do that, you know, it helps build trust and it would reduce the risk of misunderstanding. And it would also allow your family to know that, look, this person is really looking out for our interest. Another thing, especially in relation to handing on to the next generation, is to encourage participation. It's important to make sure that all relevant family members are involved in the discussions. It's important to help them express their views, express their concerns. Where they express their view and concerns, then you're able to even make better decisions. As we jokingly say these days, the Gen Zs, for instance, they're filled with ideas. They're filled with ideas that we never knew existed. Millennials such as myself sometimes struggle with some of the ideas, but you would find that these ideas are very, very interesting. And for them, they understand the exact, you know, the specific circumstances in which they operate as well. So it's important to encourage participation across the different age cadre within the family. Also, in terms of planning, it's important to review your plans regularly. Over the course of a year, the wealth and family dynamics might change. So it's important for a family to regularly review and update their plans and ensure that, you know, it still aligns with the family's goals and circumstances. Families need to know that they, and I like to say something, to my friends that, does your family have a constitution? And, you know, the response is always the same. You know, why do we need to have a constitution? We're not a country, but it's important for a family to have a constitution. This constitution will help you define your family objectives. This constitution will help you choose the right type of estate planning tool that you can use. This constitution would allow you to include contingencies, you know, unexpected situations. What do we do when unexpected situations come about? You know, who will be the family member that would, you know, chair, you know, or champion the cause? And you need to define a governance structure about, you know, around what you do within your family as well, in terms of the management of the family assets and management of the family business. I mean, family business is another conversation entirely. Business succession plan is another thing entirely. And also, it's important within this constitution to include conflict resolution methods. You know, tell your family that, look, if there are issues or issues come up at this specific point, let us have this specific conflict resolution methods. I feel like if we do this, it would help you groom the next generation. You know, it would help you create that sustainable family wealth and leadership. So, I mean, in summary, education, mentorship, and practical experience, I think those are the things that would help individuals transfer wealth in, you know, in an hitch-free manner. And obviously, look for a very decent estate planner or financial advisor to help you through the whole process.
Lovely insights. Thank you so much. I'm going to pick on something you said, and that will lead us to the final discussion point for today. You did mention, you know, how families must regularly review the family plans and the family goals. And this brings me to the next point I would like us to talk about. You also mentioned earlier, when we talked about the tax laws and the regulations and how it keeps changing. In all honesty, we also have a generally dynamic environment where we see that we have to adapt to changes very frequently, be it economic changes, technological changes, you know. So in terms of adapting to various changes, not just with regulation, but also with the economic and other changes that we grapple with on a day-to-day basis, I would like you to please talk about, you know, the need for flexibility and adaptability in wealth succession planning, especially when it comes to dealing with changing realities. How can families future-proof their succession plans, if that's a possibility?
Oh, yes, very possible. There are classic examples of families that have created constitutions that, you know, has evolved over time. The law is fluid, like I mentioned earlier. So the specific estate planning tool that you choose would help. A trust, for instance, is one of those things I like to, you know, speak to my clients about to use in the course of, you know, planning their wealth or planning their estate. Where you have a trust, it exists whilst you're alive. You know, you as the creation, you know, the creator of the trust, or who we call a settlor, will be the primary beneficiary, whilst your family members or whoever you've named will be your secondary beneficiary. That trust can actually work in your lifetime and, you know, work even upon one's demise. It's important to always have agreements as well. There are certain agreements that once you have them, it makes life easier as well. But then in relation to the, you know, to the ever-changing laws, it is important to be flexible as well. Flexibility is very essential. As you know, there's economic volatility, there's technological advancements, there are social changes. It's important to be able to create a wealth succession planning method that allows you to be flexible. Let me give you an example. If you were to create a trust, for instance, your trust must be such that it can invest in different things. Your trust can maybe have a mix of different asset classes. Perhaps today you're doing some equities. If equities are not working, maybe you're buying bonds tomorrow. Next tomorrow, you're buying properties. Technological advancements as well. I know of trusts that have NFTs and Bitcoin as part of the things that has been brought into the trust. As a matter of fact, last year, I once had a client that decided to buy a number of Bitcoin just to have it as one of their wealth that they put, asset classes. As you know, new technologies can disrupt industries, and at the same time, new technologies can create opportunities. So this particular set law thought, my succession plan should be able to incorporate whatever is happening now. So it's important to be flexible. Also, social changes as well. The family structure is beginning to change. It's not looking like it used to look before. The societal norm is changing as well. Our regulatory environment is also changing. It's important to be flexible as well, to know that, these different things that are changing in the economy or in our social environment can also impact, wealth succession. For instance, if there is a change in a tax law, or if there's a change in an inheritance regulation, it can affect how you transfer certain assets. So it's important to be flexible as well in terms of how you plan your estate and, create wealth succession. Also, I think the family dynamics can change as well. There are certain families, for instance, the dynamics of a polygamous family will be different from that of the dynamics of a monogamous family. The dynamics of a family that has divorces will be different from that which doesn't have divorces. There'll be births that will happen. There'll be deaths that will happen as well. So it's important for families to identify these ever-changing roles and create a family plan that will continuously adapt to these different personal dynamics as well. And again, in order to navigate the waters as well, you need to keep making continuous adjustments. Your continuous adjustments might just mean you reallocating some assets. It might just mean you updating certain legal documents. It might also mean governance can change as well. Also, I think I talked about this already, to diversify investments and, your assets. It's important to spread the risk as well. Whilst we are telling people to invest, while we're telling people to plan their estate, it's important for a family investment portfolio to cut across different asset classes and geographical regions as well. There are certain jurisdictions that are more relaxed in terms of taxation, whilst there are other environments where, taxes are higher, than their counterparts, in similar jurisdictions. So it's important to spread your risk as well, because this will help you mitigate unforeseen circumstances. And again, it will provide you a buffer against market volatility. And it's also important to embrace new opportunities. There are new opportunities within our markets now. There are digital assets, like I mentioned earlier. There are emerging markets that are having different, for lack of a better word, different provisions in terms of investment opportunities. People are now beginning to have a mix of investment. They're not just investing in bonds. They're investing in derivatives, futures, swaps. So those things are part of the things that you can have in your portfolio. So it's important to be able to embrace new opportunities, because it would help you grow and adapt to new trends. And importantly as well, you need to incorporate technological tools. The world is very dynamic now. It's a global village. It's very small. I can be in my office here in Lagos and I'm dealing with people in Tokyo. Artificial intelligence has allowed us to be able to, plan our finances better. It's allowed us to be able to forecast better. So we can even tell these days, what will be happening in 2-3 years, how the market would look like in 2-3 years. So it's important to incorporate those things. But then having said that, it's also important to plan for you know, different scenarios, have contingency plans, ensure that, you know, your family is able to stay afloat regardless of the economic downturn or any sudden change in your family dynamics. If you're able to do this, then I reckon, you know, succession planning will be easier. And again, as I would add at the end of every answer, you know, speak to a trust advisor. You know, they can help you plan your estate properly as well.
Thank you. And I think this has particularly been an exciting session and very enlightening as well. Thank you so much, Yemi. That wraps our conversation today on wealth succession with Coronation Merchant Bank and Coronation Trustees. Indeed, we hope this episode empowered you to take control of your financial future and make informed decisions when it comes to passing on your legacy. To learn more about Coronation Merchant Bank's private wealth management services, please visit our website at www.coronationmb.com. Also, you can contact us directly for trust and estate planning services at trustee@coronationnt.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, at CoronationNG.
This has been the Coronation Podcast. Thank you for listening.